Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. Chuck is not invisible. He's joining us on the phone. He has an appointment later on, so he'll be here for the first half hour. Go, what's there to talk about today, right? I mean, talk about a jam-packed weekend. So we got Biden. We got Kamala. We got the Secret Service. Mark Poff is coming on later to talk about that. We've got... idiots in the Colorado Republican Party continuing with their illegal coup attempt. We'll talk about that. But wanted to start off with good news.
And Matt Dunn and our good friend, the RNC chair, have had their last show. So Kenya is slowly dying, a slow and painful death.
But we're not. Our show, Ash's show, we're doing great. So I want to welcome Ash App with Ash in America. Ash, every time I tell people we're having you on the show, they go, we love Ash. We love Ash. So
thank you.
And welcome. So you won a huge court victory. Election integrity warriors. You exposed lies, corruption. I mean, it was astonishing, actually. I wish I could have been there at the trial because I've never seen anything like it. But rather than me try to explain it and you have to correct me, why don't you just go ahead and explain what the whole thing was about and then this huge victory for you guys.
Sure. So in the wake of the 2020 election, Holly Kaysen, me, and a group of other people founded the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, which was really kind of an idea. It was take back your local self-governance. Let's figure out what's true with our elections locally in our own counties, figure out what's true, expose what's true, and attempt to restore election integrity. We did that. Most people know USCIP. I think your audience probably is well familiar with USCIP and our efforts. And in the spring of 2021, we decided to canvass the 2020 election. So we went door to door. We showed the record of the Secretary of State's, turnout results in the election and said, is this accurate? And that's essentially what we did. We found that 8 to 11% of the time it's a question, and there's definitely some concerns about places people are registered to vote, places like storage units and Arby's and Sam's Club. But a couple days after we published our report, we were sued. We were sued by the NAACP, League of Women Voters, and Mi Familia Vota for voter suppression, intimidation, coercion, and threats under the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and the KKK Act of 1871.
I mean, it's just outrageous because let me point out to people, you weren't doing this is public record. Frankly, you were doing the work that the Colorado Secretary of State should be doing, which is some kind of audit to see do the voting records actually match the reality on the ground. But they sued you, accusing you of all kinds of terrible stuff. And that's kind of so just establishing the fact that you weren't doing anything wrong at all. And I believe, and I'll have you comment on this further, I think they sued you and attempted to say to anybody, hey, you want to try to make sure you have integrity in our elections. This is what's going to happen to you. But it did not work. It did not work. They were more corrupt than you could have even believed. Why don't you explain what you guys were able to show and then what the judge did?
Well, more than that, that really the part of the lawsuit was really to get you to settle. To admit to the heinous crimes, and then they'd let you go. But that would have accomplished their goal of getting you to lie down. And so they were more than a little surprised when you went to court.
That's exactly right, Chuck. This is, I believe, a playbook. You file heinous allegations, sending armed agents to interrogate voters at their home and ask them who they voted for, all these kinds of things. Heinous allegations. They file them. They immediately give them to the press. The AP picks it up. It goes around the world. It's translated into other languages. And you're like, oh my gosh, what is this? Like, we didn't do anything. But you know what? I have rights and I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight this. We're going to fight back. And then, you know, a few months later, and not in our case, but in most of these novel Lawfare cases, they get the TRO. And the TRO allows them to have another, you know, round of headlines, round of fundraising. We're saving democracy. And as a defendant, you're, you know, first of all, we have rights. We're going to fight this. But your neighbors are looking at you a little sideways. Your family members are wondering what you did. And then the TRO comes around and it's almost affirmed. And the purpose is to make it so painful that you'll sign their consent decree. You might not have done it. The consent decree is, we'll just all agree to continue following the law. But what happens is they go out with, we're saving democracy. We stop these horrible people from doing these horrible things. And in tiny little fine print, according to the agreement of the, you know, the terms of the settlement agreement, we have to state that they didn't do anything wrong. Well, nobody right. reads that far. It doesn't matter for their purposes. The process is the punishment. And it's about the headlines, the fundraising, and ironically, stopping our support and advocacy, which is right. a violation of the Voting Rights Act.
Right. Well, and I think, and I'd like you to talk about this a little bit, because basically what you were able to show, I mean, I remember reading the one thing where the judge even said, I don't even want to hear anymore from this witness. You were able to show, I mean, they're accusing you of intimidating voters. They just made the whole thing up, right?
Pretty much. Yes, it was. So there was, their original complaint included four articles from the Colorado Times Recorder, three of which were written by Eric Malbech.
Yeah, which is, by the way, that's a George Soros funded Democracy Alliance, total progressive. It's not a real, it's not a legit, it's like, you know, Mad Magazine or something like that for Democrats. But
well, Eric Malbech has had to issue corrections on his reporting about both USCIP and me personally in the past, right. because he right. does just kind of make some stuff up.
Yeah.
And so relying upon that, the plaintiffs then editorialized on top of Eric Malbech's already editorialized reporting and, you know, used that as their allegations. They asserted them in the press as though they were true, and they went around the world and they weren't true. It wasn't true. They're trying to conflate election denialism and the act of canvassing, free speech, First Amendment canvassing, with some sort of crime. And the court didn't have it. The court wasn't having it. And you're right. At one point, they had one witness out in Mesa County, and USCIP didn't canvass in Mesa County. But eventually on the stand, this witness admitted that she had only named USCIP upon the suggestion of counsel.
So she wasn't into, so they couldn't find a single person who could even legitimately claim that they were, like you said, she was in Mesa County, but you didn't canvass in Mesa County. So you clearly couldn't have intimidated her. And as I understand it, she was basically saying, well, actually, it's not so much that I was intimidated, but I read these media reports that said that it could be intimidating. So when they told me to file the complaint, I did. I mean, that's kind of it, right? I mean, she made it up.
She was an impressionable old lady, and she has four different stories on the record.
Yeah.
So, right. you know, it is very, and it's not for lack of trying that they didn't find somebody.
Right.
There was a League of Women Voters press release asking for witnesses to our conduct on September 4th and September 10th. There was a Secretary of State Jenna Griswold press release about canvassing on September 9th. We gave them the entire record of everybody's home that we canvassed.
Right.
What they alleged did not happen. It was a fabrication. And now it's, you know, that's official. There's been a lot of talk that this case was dismissed or that it was tossed. It was not. Right. It was heard. The findings were read into the record and judgment was entered in favor of the defendants, and we were awarded costs.
Right, which is much bigger than being tossed. The judge
we
said,
won.
I'm not even going to toss this. Well, I want to back up a second, and we can clarify that, too, because that is an important distinction. But this is a typical Democrat playbook, right? We saw this with the Russia collusion, with the Russia hoax, right? It starts off, Washington Post reports, oh, the DNC is hacked. All of a sudden, they're using reports about the DNC hack to launch investigations. And even though there was no hack, and here's a similar thing. You have the Democrats getting the Colorado Times Recorder to write a fake story, to write lies. And then you have these other groups waiting in the wings, coincidentally, to file lawsuits citing the fake news as a basis for the lawsuits and people doing it too. I mean, this is typical Democrats, a typical Democrat playbook, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I can't comment on whether or not Eric Malbech wrote the things that he wrote at the direction of somebody else. He was kind of obsessed with USCIP from the moment it was incepted, and he wrote a lot of things about us, you know, a lot of editorializing about our intent and who we were and, you know, QAnon and all this kind of stuff. He went to town, not based on any sort of facts, right? It was his kind of fever dreams. But to attempt to submit reporting of the Colorado Times Recorder as evidence in court, that is incredible. And I think one thing that, people need to realize is that in this case, the NAACP, the League of Women Voters, they were fighting against the rights that they historically enshrined into law. Freedom of association was enshrined as a First Amendment right by the NAACP. And in this case, they were fighting against it. And the reality is this was a couple law firms from outside of Colorado that thought this would be a nice little environment to try some novel lawfare. And it wasn't for them.
No. And you guys, well,
have you thought about doing the Colorado Times Reporter and the Reporter?
I have thought about a lot of things, Chuck, and I will be pursuing many of them.
Okay.
Well, and that's, I mean, I think what is so, and I want to talk to you a little bit about this, because this reminds me a little bit of Tina Peters when they basically told her, all of your criminal cases, all of this will go away if you will just sign this little piece of paper that says you were, you don't have any questions about, right? So, and Tina Peters, as we all know, she goes on trial next month. I mean, we know what they're doing to her. And this sounds like it was similar. I imagine if you guys had just signed their little piece of paper, it would have all gone away. How and why did you refuse to back down? How do you find the fortitude? I mean, because Ash, it's amazing that you guys withstood all of this.
Yeah, they lied about us, and there was no way. And from the moment that they filed this case, when I was represented by counsel in past December, I fired my attorneys and represented myself. Holly and I represented ourselves up until about 3 weeks before trial, and then Holly got trial attorneys to handle the trial. I defended myself all the way through. But there was no way I was going to admit to something that I didn't do. And I follow these guys. I cover enough cases to see how it works when people sign the consent decree. And they still get their headlines and their fundraising cycles at your expense. All of their press, their fundraising, their messaging platform of the threat landscape and, oh my gosh, we're saving democracy. All of that was at my expense. And the expense of my
And you've set a template for people to follow there as well, right? I mean, were you surprised? I mean, I was surprised because you're right. I have that doubt in the back of my head about the court system. But in reading the trial, my impression was the judge seemed pretty fair.
I believe the judge is above reproach. Very, you know, kind of poker face. The way she called the balls and strikes and managed the objections, I thought was very fair. She gave them every opportunity to find a way to make their case. And in the end, she called it on a directed verdict which means we didn't have to bring our case in chief. It was over essentially at halftime. And that is substantially prevailing in this case. And, it feels good.
It feels, hey, no, Chuck, are you still there? I don't know if you dropped. Are you there? Well, we might have lost Chuck. Chuck had an appointment. Well, I just know from covering it and every trial there, and this is just a trial to the judge, right? Or was there a jury?
Right.
Okay. No, there's no jury. So the one side, the prosecution or the plaintiffs present their case. And then the other side asks for a directed verdict. That never happens. Almost never. Right. Almost always. So for the judge to say, there is so little here, this is such a flim flam case, I'm not even going to bother. I mean, like you said, it wasn't that it was dismissed. You guys won hands down. Yeah. I mean, decisively.
Well, yeah. And that's the reason that I want to make sure everybody knows this wasn't dismissed is because that implies that the evidence wasn't heard. Right. Or that, you know, there was that there were, you know, dismissed on standing, those kinds of things. This case was heard. They were given every opportunity, both with the evidence and with the witnesses, to prove that we did the things that they said that we did, and we didn't do those things. And so by the time that they rested their case, it was obvious that the case was a fabrication.
Right.
And I do believe that justice was done in that courtroom. And I can't, I'm over the moon about it, because I've never been the kind of I don't want to live in a world where we just assume that the courts are corrupt. And there's a lot of that on the right. Then when we, you know, there's a lot of people who are mentally there. For me, having gone through it firsthand, experienced the process, and did it, you know, pro se, my faith in the justice system is, you know, it's grew three sizes that day, Julie. And I'm just over the moon about it.
Well, that's it. Now, let me ask you this. Did you say to the judge, like, Your Honor, do you know how many YouTube videos I watched? Did you say, can I at least present my case just for, you know, for grins or something? I mean, because you have put an enormous amount of work, and you're like, wait, I don't get to say anything. I mean,
I said a lot of stuff. No, so the way that it was set up was that they called us as adverse witnesses. And so we did our direct examination and cross-examination on us and any witnesses that they were planning, that we were planning on calling as part of our defense. We did that in the first part. So we did bring part of our defense, but we didn't have to bring a case in chief. I did say to her though, when we were doing the 52C motions, I said, I really wish you could hear from the other two plaintiffs, because the proffers that have been provided are just more misrepresentations. So there is a part of me that really wants you to hear the rest of these witnesses, but I recognize where we are in the process.
Yeah, then just take your victory and go home. Well, and again, so you guys are simply exercising your right. You were concerned, as anyone in America should be concerned, no matter what you think about the elections. A fair election is the basis for everything. There is the Secretary of State, I have long said, should be doing the canvassing and auditing just to make sure, right? And for you guys, there's nothing illegal about it. It's not intimidating people. And not only that, they just made it up. And I mean, they just, and the whole thing, it was just lawfare. And I don't know. I just said, people of Colorado, I think, just really need to be thankful and proud of you, because whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, right? Because pretty easily, and this is the thing I think sometimes Democrats don't get, that shoe could be on the other foot, right? You never know what's going to happen historically.
That's exactly it. We should not be advocating for the government to have powers or authorities over us that we don't want our political opponents to have. Our rights should be first and foremost our primary focus. And I mean, you guys know I'm not a Republican. I'm proudly unaffiliated voter, and I want the process to be fair, and I want people to be honorable. And, you know, I think we have a long way to go, but I do think that there's... It feels like the tides are turning a bit.
I think so too. I kind of think, and I hope that judges, as you said, you know, maybe their eyes watching what's going on with Trump, watching the Hunter Biden laptop thing, watching all of the things that have been happening. Hopefully judges are starting to say, you know, just maybe we should have a bit of a skeptical or a critical eye when we look at this stuff. So, well, let me ask you, two final questions. One, just sort of a wrap up, any final thoughts? And also, I'm assuming that there might be legal costs or things like, well, I guess they awarded costs, so you're okay there. But where can people read you, support you, that kind of thing?
Sure. Thank you for that. So linktree.com/AshInAmerica, Ash with an E, has my show schedule with all the times and locations, all the writing, Glendale, my Substack, Badland Substack, and my Give, Set, and Go. I do absolutely plan to make sure that this can't happen to other people, and to pursue all avenues to remedy the harm that was done. So any support that people can provide towards that, because I don't necessarily want to do all of that pro se. It's kind of a lot. givesendgo.com/AshInAmerica. And I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
All right, Ash, thank you for your time. Thank you for the work that you do. And I think probably, just so folks know, I think this will be a big expose on what you expose in the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle as well.
That's correct.
All right, cool. Thank you, Ash. Thank you. Good job. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Everyone says they love you, by the way. in all of here. Let me read some of these. We got Mark Poff coming up, but from Sandra. Oh, wow. Thank God for you and Chuck. Exactly. Sued to intimidate the bastards. We're not a democracy. Wait till the Republicans start ballot harvesting. The Dems will file charges against the Republicans for voter harassment. Exactly. You won the case, but what about damages for you? I think the court, as I understand it, allowed or ordered them to pay court costs. And I think damages is would be, I think that's the kind of thing Ash is sort of talking about. Yeah, from I agree with this, Charlene. Jenna, I wish Elon Musk would put some money into defending the lawfare cases. This is the new world we live in. Ash is courageous. All the voter rolls need to be clean. Secretary of State is not doing this. Absolutely. And then from Jacob, too, there are a ton of great comments here. Judges do stick their finger in the wind. I think so. I want to move on. It's a little bit early, so I don't know, Mark, if you're there, if you can come on early, you can go up there. You can. There is so much to talk about today. Want to bring back, and thank you for filling in for us Friday while we were at the RNC, which we'll have to talk about later. It was a blast, by the way. Law enforcement expert Mark Poff. You know, okay, so we, when you talk the last time, it's like, okay, so we want to talk about the secretary, the Secret Service secretary. But in the meantime, Biden resigned. Kamala Harris is now running for president. No one has seen Biden. Jared Polis said he would be happy to consider being a vice president if asked. There's a shock. let me start off, and we'll get to all of it. But let me start off with the Secret Service testimony. I mean, you're kind of one of the questions I had is she was saying that there are no radio communications that were recorded or archived. That can't possibly be true. Well, I mean, I've covered cops forever. And in my experience, they tend to release them when they want to release them. And they say they can't be released when they don't want to release them. But I've never heard them say we didn't record it because it's automatically recorded, isn't it?
Yeah, depending on the channel. Okay. So I've had the luxury or the privilege of working with the Secret Service on multiple occasions. So that's okay. Kind of nice. It seems like a lot of this stuff that comes up kind of goes into the house. I used to provide a presidential protection back when I was a deputy, when they came into the Air Force Academy for graduation, right, and other things like that. So I've worked directly with the Secret Service. So what we did, there was always a pre-game show or meeting or whatever you right. want to call it. Secret Service was there. They had the head honcho or whatever who was in charge. And I thought that was amazing that, you know, today when she testified and all she did was try to antagonize everybody, is right. she couldn't even write a name of who ran the thing. Who was in charge? You know, when you get to anything, there's always a person who's in charge. And it right. and she admitted the Secret Service was in charge, but it's like, give me a name. Give me a name of who ran the show. So what you do is you typically pair up. I was kind of fortunate on one of them when we were doing security for Bill Clinton. When he was at the Air Force Academy, our concerns weren't snipers. They were young girls back with Bill Clinton. And actually, I had to deal with some of them. So I can explain that if you're interested. But so what we did was we had different posts. So they give you assignments. It's not this, you know, kind of you're responsible for, but it is, you know, and I worked with some Secret Service agents down at the lower deck when they were running through the metal detectors.
Right.
So at that event, you had sheriff's office deputies, you had Secret Service, you had the Air Force SPs, because it was Air Force, and then you also had Capitol Police. They were there as well. The Capitol Police were actually running the metal detectors. That was their job, was the metal detectors. Then we had liaisons back and forth. I know this is a long answer to your question.
But that's important that people understand how it works.
Right. And so when they were making a big deal about how at the Trump rally, they couldn't communicate, I'm going, wait a minute. Because here's the deal. I was partnered up with a Secret Service agent. So if something came across my radio, which is recorded, just to be clear, the sheriff's office is going to record this. Now, I don't know if Secret Service, you know, they have their own ways, you know, to communicate. But if something came across that said, hey, we got a shooter on a roof or whatever, I would have probably turned to my Secret Service guy and said, hey, I just got something on my radio that just said there's a shooter on the roof, you know, right. And then at that point, you know, he could radio because I was nowhere near Bill Clinton. That was a different team, but they could radio using their radios, right. Hey, get, you know, Bill Clinton off the stage or whatever. And I knew of all these different teams. You know, we had sniper teams, we had dogs, we had bomb squad that they were running through. Now, the advantage with the Air Force Academy is it was a secure location. So
yeah, to begin with. Yeah.
Yeah, to begin with. So they secured the crap out of that location ahead of time. And there's definitely a different show depending on who they're protecting, which is that kind of interests me. But I guess it does make sense because she admitted today when she was testifying that as soon as Biden said, you know, hey, I'm not going to run again, they sent extra resources to Kamala Harris. And I'm like, what the hell is up with that? Is she not getting the best protection now?
Yeah, exactly.
That when Biden says, you know, hey, I'm thinking about going and doing something else, you know, in my next career.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, let's think about it. So Trump is the nominee. I mean, right? He hadn't been. He's the nominee. He's also leading in the poll. So he's very potentially the next president. But yeah, I mean, to go back to some of the stuff you're saying, that's what I was assuming, because we know that at least some of the stuff talking about the shooter was over the sheriff department radio.
Absolutely.
What about, I would think. I was listening. It was Dan Bongino or somebody who was saying they have in these things like a holding area before somebody goes on a stage because they want to make sure where they're not just kind of like sitting in the car, cooling their heels. Like, I mean, there's someplace if there are any questions. And it sounds like there were questions early enough. I mean, it wasn't like this just happened in like a 3-minute span. This went on for almost an hour. It seems like that this was going on. I mean, do they normally have someplace like that, too, where they could, because it's not like Trump is never late, you know what I mean, where they could just hold him, right?
Well, I'm sure at every location, I wasn't privy to this because I was out actually doing work. Yeah. In every location, they have different places where they stage, you know, before they come out. And so I knew kind of where Bill Clinton was, but I wouldn't have been able to get to that location. He came in a motorcade and then he kind of went underneath the stadium, if you want to call it that.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's almost like, you know, I was just recently watching a show on the Apollo missions. And whenever they make a major decision, they go right down the checklist and they say, like, you know, retros, go, you know, environmental, go. You know, they need to have something like that to where everybody has to say, hey, it's good as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But this was such a cluster. And who was doing what? In watching her testimony today, my head almost exploded a couple times. Because one, she sounded like a very novice person in giving testimony, letting these congresspeople bait her. Mm-hmm. But it's obvious to me she doesn't have a clue. It's like I always wanted to ask certain supervisors, when's the last time you're actually out in a uniform, you know, doing work? So you wonder, did she really understand? Because she kept talking about, well, that was outside the perimeter. Who gives a crap if it's outside the perimeter? Who in their right freaking mind would go do a pre-meeting and say, oh, you guys see that building over there 150 yards away? What a beautiful kill zone. Let's leave that open.
Right, right. You know, and I just mean, tell the cops, hey, you guys deal with this if you want to, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's stupid. And then try to put the blame on the Butler Township Sheriff's Office or whatever. It's like, guys, they're talking about kind of a loose responsibility. That's BS. Everybody has their roles. They know what their roles are. These cops who were doing traffic control took the initiative. Now, they should have been, I mean, everybody should have been radioing. And what's interesting is around the stage, I didn't see any sheriff's office or other agencies, but there is one channel. This is something I believe came from 9/11. There's a national law enforcement channel.
Okay.
So every radio in the nation is supposed to have this channel. So it doesn't, like, if I'm chasing somebody up I-25, I can switch over to the national or whatever frequency, and everybody can hear it.
Okay. You know,
or at least dispatch can hear it in Douglas County or whatever.
Right, right.
So I'm just flabbergasted, if that's the right word, that these people are saying, you got people yelling, there's a, you know, there's a guy on the roof.
Right.
And you can hear Trump talking in the background. That's insane.
Right. Well, what about one of the first things I said is, I mean, like the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle has a drone, right? It's like Rev has a drone, right? And so like, why? Because at some point he had to have either put the rifle there. I mean, I don't understand. And drones aren't even expensive. I imagine the cops had a drone, right? And
everybody has a drone.
And I've seen numerous events where, if nothing else for, I don't say crowd control, but they can go over, it's a hot day, make sure nobody's fainting. I mean, I was stunned that there was zero kind of drone stuff going on too. I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, there should have been. And that's why when you hear her answer these questions, it really drives you insane. When it's like, you know, did you have a drone there? She goes, well, I'm not going to talk specifics. Just say no. Yeah. We didn't fly a drone, okay? But it was so simple, you know, for someone to just have a drone go up and now they're programmable and just check the roof. I mean, I can't even fathom how that rooftop, and someone even said today that the roof was sloped less than the one they were on.
Yeah.
And she said, well, it's kind of sloped, you know?
It's kind of slopey. So, yeah, I mean, if you're, it's like, and then you show people standing up there. The whole thing was just a mess. Some of the agents' reactions, I mean, what do you make of the female agents? Some criticism there. I do admit, when I was watching that, just when I first saw the videotape, just off the top of my head, it was like, they seemed flustered, would be the word I'd use. Now, granted, it's a bad experience, but I think it's like their job to not be flustered, right?
Well, the thing is we deal with muscle memory constantly. So we okay. train for perfection, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And even in local law enforcement, the thing that we test for, train for a lot, is active shooters. Even though I went through my entire career, never dealt with an active shooter, mm-hmm. but we train for it every year, you know, just to make sure. And a lot of it's muscle memory. So you deal with it. They did seem, frustrated is actually a probably the right word. And, you know, the one trying to holster her weapon and they said, oh, crap, forget that. I'll just leave it out. You know, and OK, I'm OK with you leaving your gun out. But it just looked bad, you know, that right. she was trying to holster this weapon for so long. And, you know, and I said something last Friday and I'm sure some people would be like, unbelievable. But, you know, if I had a football team and I was looking for a linebacker, I don't get a wide receiver. I get a linebacker.
Right.
So the people that are right around the president need to be these big, huge guys. Now, I'm not, right. you know, I'm 6'1", and I'm thinking guys as big as me or bigger, you know, so as soon as this happens, you know, your role, your job is to cover the president. So don't right. have a 5'4" female and right. don't have a 5'4" male. Doesn't right. matter. Doing that, have them go do something else. You know, right. so I'm not saying they can't do the job, but
I will say this, at the RNC, it was noticeable when Trump came in, it was all, I think there was one female at the back, but it was all tall, big guys, which makes sense. I mean, if you were a celebrity, right, and you're hiring a security detail and their job is to like take a bullet for you. Well, I mean, if they only come to hear on you, that's not going to work right. very well.
That
you know?
Doesn't work. That doesn't work very well. You know, so. Yeah, it's kind of interesting in that role and everybody doing their job.
Right.
But well, I have to tell you, from my limited, you know, exposure working with Secret Service, it was a joke. This right. whole thing, you know, are they complicit in the shooting of Donald Trump? My goodness, Donald Trump should be dead. I just, from what I know, I have an AR-15. A lot of people do, with an EOTech, 150 yards out for something his size, a person.
Right.
I'm shooting wild boar at 150 yards without a problem. So it's just, they were lucky. Just right. straight, well, and he turns his head. I mean,
yes.
Very second.
Which begs the question, you got to wonder, was this, I mean, a conspiracy? Was this just a particularly inept day? But there were so many things that should have happened that did not happen on this day. I got to wonder if they are just in general this incompetent and just nothing happened before now. I mean, your thoughts on that? That what? How does all of this incompetence roll coincidentally into one event? I just wonder if this is how they do business there and finally they got caught.
I will tell you, I'm a firm believer of this. Arrogance comes before the fall.
Yeah.
And they, Secret Service, and I love them. You know, I've hung out with a few of them. They're really cool guys, but they're extremely arrogant. And they breed this arrogance almost like fighter pilots that, hey, you're yeah. the best of the best.
Right.
And I kind of joke about that because most Secret Service agents are going after counterfeiters. So there's only a few that, you know, probably a third of their staff is even on protection. And they made a big deal about that they use local resources like that was a problem. These guys are all trained.
Right.
You know, to do this stuff. But arrogance is a serious problem. They probably rolled into town thinking, yeah, what's the big deal? But
really?
How embarrassing
right.
that you let amateur hour squeeze six rounds off, kill, you know, somebody. And I was thinking the whole time, I saw this almost live, is that they had to, somebody in that stands had to get shot. I mean, there was no
right.
way.
I thought the same
Trump.
Thing. Right.
I mean, it's like somebody has got to be hurt bad.
Right.
And so they let amateur hour. And I mean, this whole thing just doesn't make sense to me after the fact, and it's getting worse by listening to her. They knew ahead of time there was an Iranian conspiracy. Now, I'm not sure that's true.
Right.
I'm not sure, you know, so the problem is we don't trust the media or our government at this point.
Yeah.
When they come out and say after the fact, oh, by the way,
yeah,
the Iranians were looking to kill Trump. Really? And you still allow this to happen with
right.
an Iranian team in the country? So you have an unsecure border where you let terrorists in. Then you have amateur hours set it up with a building with a perfect setup.
Right.
You know, 150 yards away. You knew about, you know, the Iranian terrorists or whatever. And then you still don't have a drone. You don't have enough agents. You let a building go unsecured. You know, I can't at this point say that you know, they're complicit. But they sure did aid and abet the enemy
in this,
by giving them an opportunity. You know, hey, let's not secure this building, and if some nut wants to take a shot at you know Trump, okay.
Oh well, we don't. Well, remember we had in Denver. Was it one of the Secret Service ahead had to retire or resign or got moved out after she said she would not take a bullet for Trump? I don't know if you remember that. That was back when he was like, well, let me ask you just a couple more questions, and then we'll move into Biden proof of life, Harris.
The coup.
I had a friend years ago in the Denver Police Department who had been in the military and was a sniper, and he had talked about an incident in downtown Denver one time where there was the president was there and they had all the secure perimeter, and it was not particularly close to where the president was going to be, but it was a guy walking with a shotgun, and he was returning
nice.
It, or he had some legitimate reason for having the shotgun, but he kind of went through the barrier. And he said, that guy has no idea how close he came to being killed, because he was explaining, and now tell me if he was just making this up or if it's changed, but he said they have sort of stages, right? You have red light, yellow light, right? And he said, so you're in constant communication. And at a certain point, because there's not time to relay through the chain of command if something happens. And he said, they would give the snipers essentially a green light in a situation. And to me, I got to figure, that had to have happened. And how did these guys let someone shoot the president and they wait till after? I mean, you could see, it looked to me like some of them had eyes on the shooter, right? And
they were looking in that direction.
Right. Then they react to shots fired. I mean, is that kind of true? I mean, I would imagine common sense is that they have to, at some point, the supervisors have to turn the judgment over to the sniper, or to the would-be sniper, otherwise there's not time to react.
It's ahead of time
that, okay.
that they get that. So it's kind of like when someone goes up to bat and they have three balls and no strikes, and they always mm-hmm. say, I wonder if the batter has a green light to swing. Well, they know it before they walk into the, you know, into the batter's box. They know whether they have a green light or a red light on whether they can swing. So a sniper, typically in these situations, they're going to know. Totally different in local law enforcement.
Yeah.
You know, the sniper has to radio back, look, I've got a shot.
Right.
You know, and then a supervisor has, you know, and that's where you get the wuss factor,
right?
You know, where the supervisor's no, let's wait, you know,
right.
In this situation, like, I think like he's talking about, when they breach a certain area and you see a gun, you can shoot.
Right.
I mean, it's just that simple. No one's going to question you. Now you don't, depending on what he sees. You know, if he sees someone that might be Secret Service with a weapon out, he's probably not going to shoot them. He's going to ask, right. Hey, I've got somebody, you know, and as soon as you see a weapon, things start happening.
Right.
Immediately. But snipers, I think they're trained like with the Secret Service snipers, which make them different than local snipers. That's why local snipers, I'm sure, anti-sniper teams love to work with the Secret Service, because they know the odds. I mean, I hate to say this.
If you're a sniper, this is what you do.
Yeah, I mean, this is like being a bomb tech and getting a bomb. You
right.
know, that's what they've been training for their whole life, you know, to do this.
Well, and yeah, and here it, clearly it fell down. Well, let me switch gears unless there's anything else you want to add about that. But because I've been talking, I'm like, oh yeah, there's tons to talk about. And then all of a sudden Biden resigns. Although I think it's funny, he resigns on Twitter. If you're Elon Musk, I mean, everything happens on Twitter these days. No one's That's seen him, him since. There are all kinds of weird reports coming out about he had a heart attack. He had this, he had that. I will say at this point, I mean, it's funny. It's not funny. You got to wonder, right? It's like,
well, they're not going to. I don't think they're going to let him out until the bruises heal.
Yeah.
you know, Nancy I think Pelosi. Some people, you know, beating them down or whatever. I mean, this is just a modern day coup. They somehow, we don't know exactly what happened, but they somehow got the current president to basically, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, get him to jump the first hurdle. We just don't want you to run again, Joe, and live out your legacy with this term. Well, now everybody's pounding on him. You know, he needs to resign now.
Right, right.
Because if he can't run for reelection, how can he be running the government now?
Right.
And that's why I'm saying I still don't think, you know, Donald Trump's going to be the 47th president. He might be 48.
48. We were laughing at the convention because they had all these hats, 45/47. Yeah. We were like, they're going to have to redo the merchandise.
they are, because I still think there's a pretty good chance that Kamala Harris, and that's a whole thing. So this coup, you know, it's funny they say, oh, over the weekend a coup happened. I got news for you. We are still in the middle of the coup.
Right.
The coup is taking place right now. And that coup is not just that Joe Biden doesn't run again. It appears the coup is we're going to get Kamala Harris in, but that's not the big coup. It's who's going to be the vice president, you know, for their party, because I think that's ultimately where Obama is kicking into all this stuff. And I just wonder, who are they? Who are these people?
Right.
And it sounds like it's a loose alliance of Obama leaders.
I think so, Obama. And I think, because in part, because I was thinking if I were Joe Biden, I would have held out. I mean, unless maybe the health reasons are worse. Right. Yeah. What are you going to lose? Right. Now he just gets to stay there. And, you know, and I mean, if I'm him, I'm like, it was like, okay, they show him losing here and there. I mean, polls are polls. Right. And a lot of things, I mean, look at this, just look at the past like 7 days, right? A lot of things can happen in an election. So I don't blame him and I wish he was still holding out. And it's
absolutely.
Like,
look at Mondale.
Yeah.
And so there's Mondale, and then there's Dukakis.
Yeah.
They knew they were going to lose.
Yeah.
And nobody tried to pull off saying, hey, Dukakis, you need to get out of the tank.
And let somebody else run.
Let somebody else run, because you're not going to win. We've done the polls. So for them to go to Biden and say, look, you have no pathway to success, it's like, what about Mondale and Dukakis? Yeah. They didn't either, but you didn't like throw them out.
Well,
you know,
and
this is a coup. I think they were afraid that he was going to pass away before the election.
And then they'd be screwed. Well, and yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, the Democrats, it's like, forget all of those pesky voters who voted for Biden to be the nominee. It's like
a democracy.
It's just, you know, if you're a Democrat voter, you mean zero to the elites and the big boys who are really calling the show.
Your vote means zero.
Zero.
It's interesting. So the second round of voting, I mean, I just, this whole thing is just so interesting. If it, you know, you're literally seeing a Democrat coup right in front of your
unfolding.
Eyes every day. We're watching and can you figure out, you know,
right.
what's the move? So, you know, it'll be interesting at the convention. It'll be so entertaining to see if the super delegates actually get involved in a second election. I don't think they will, because, you know, they always, as they always say, follow the money.
Right.
And Kamala has the money now.
Yeah.
So I think the game is in VP. And then something will happen to Kamala.
Yeah, if you're her, you want to get your own Secret Service protection. You're like, look, I'll just hire my own guys. Well, I think there could be something there. I know the conservative treehouse has your theory that what's going to happen is Joe Biden's going to resign. Kamala's going to become president. It's a lot easier to run, even if it's an incumbent for a few months, right, as an incumbent than as this. It eliminates the secondary coup in case, you know, to take in case Gavin Newsom decides, you know, no more open convention. Yeah. And it's interesting. I have, and of course I've been wrong every time around, but I still think that Jared Polis, I mean, he'd be from a Democrat, he'd be not a bad vice presidential candidate. Well, he's got his own money,
no
right?
Baggage.
He's gay. He's Jewish. He's God knows why, but he is widely perceived, even among unaffiliated voters, as kind of a libertarian-y kind of guy, not the progressive that he is. So,
right.
But he doesn't seem to be being mentioned anywhere except for Colorado. So any thoughts on who the VP might be?
Well, I just think it's going to be a female.
Oh.
That she wants to break ground. I mean, can you imagine if you didn't vote for a double female, double minority, you know, it'd be like, you know, my goodness, you know. But I mean, who knows? I will tell you that Beshear, and the only reason I mention his name is because I'm from Kentucky.
Okay.
And Kentucky is an extremely conservative state, but yet he's pulled off a re-election there. So he's won twice in Kentucky.
Right.
So he obviously has the ability to get some Republicans to vote for him. So, you know, and I heard, this is what I heard earlier this morning, is that they can't pick a Jew. Because
that's right. That'll scuttle.
Because it'll cost them Michigan and Minnesota.
Good point.
And I was thinking to myself, holy crap. Somebody just said that on national TV that they won't pick. Was it Shapiro or whatever from Pennsylvania? Because he's a Jew and that will turn too many people off. And I'm like, my God.
This is American.
The Democrat Party is making those kind of decisions at this point in our history.
That's
brutal.
That's bad. Well, and they've got Kamala. I mean, I remember when she ran before, she started out okay because she looks good on paper. She's just, and I remember talking with our Democrat strategist friend, Ted Trimpa, who agreed with us. He's like, there's just something inherently unlikable about her. She just
drives me insane.
She drives everyone. I mean, the longer she went in the campaign before, the more and more unpopular she got. And she had to, every time she, it was kind of like Biden. Every time he opens his mouth, he says something stupid. Every time she opens her mouth, she loses a million voters, you know?
She pisses people off. I mean, and I, you know, I listen to RFK and it's brutal to listen to him. I mean, I'm sorry to say that. It is what it is. But when she talks, it's beyond brutal. It's like, it's so condescending that it comes off. It just rubs you wrong. And you're just like, I don't like this person. I don't quite know why, but you know, and I like to listen to RFK because some of his stuff is actually
interesting,
but she's, and when she cackles,
it's going to be as bitter. So it can, no, you're right. And it's hard to put your finger, but the Democrats know that she doesn't poll a lot better. The Democrats,
they have no choice.
Yeah. And I think you're right. So we'll see with what they do for vice president. I mean, who knows? By Wednesday, everything could be,
happen. We don't have the game plan. I mean, there should be someplace out on the internet where I can read for the next episode what's coming up on the Democrat coup.
Yeah.
I mean, we're right in the middle of, is Michelle Obama going to be the next VP? I mean, who knows? But I do agree with you on Polis, why he's somewhat of a safe bet. He doesn't have baggage. He hasn't really pissed anybody off.
No.
You know, so he would be a good pick. He does meet a lot of their social agenda. I mean, I would think I would want somebody that ran a state, some executive experience.
Right.
Kamala Harris doesn't have a clue.
Well,
I mean, half her staff has left because she drives them insane. Can you imagine her as the president? And I know I'll get hammered for this. Can you imagine her turning on bitch mode in the Oval Office? I mean, it would be brutal.
Exactly. Well, and you raise a good point. Can you imagine in this day and age, and we got to go, the Democrat Party having to call Jared Polis and say, look, you're great, but you're Jewish. We just can't have
a Jewish. Sorry, man. You'll cost us Michigan and Minnesota, dude.
Hey, listen, Mike, thank you for your time as always. Appreciate it. And thank you. We're going to wrap it up now. Chuck was at a doctor's appointment. He'll be here Wednesday. Speaking of that, we'll bring you up to speed on the coup going on here in Colorado, the coup attempt. It's not going to work. But Mark, thank you. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. And we'll see everyone on Wednesday.